إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره. Verily we praise Allah, or the praise is due to Allah, so we praise Him. We thank Him, we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. نحمده تعالى ونستعينه ونستغفره. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا. We seek refuge with Allah from the evils of our own selves. ومن سيئات أعمالنا, and from the consequences of our bad deeds. من يهده الله فلا مضل له. Whoever Allah guides, then there is no one to lead him astray. ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. And whoever he allows to stray, there can be no guide for him. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. I testify openly that there is none worthy of worship other than Allah, who is alone without any partners. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And I further testify that Muhammad was his servant and final messenger. As for what follows, أما بعد, then by Allah's grace and permission, here in Masjid Uthman ibn Maz'un, may Allah Ta'ala be pleased with him, in the city of Jeddah, we have reached our 10th class in our reading from the tafsir of Shaykh Al-Alama Muhammad ibn al-Salih al-Uthaymeen. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon him. Ameen. And we have reached page number 231, near the bottom, where we left off last week, where our Shaykh said, فَكُلَّمَا رَأَيْتَ شَيْئًا مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ جَعَلَ الشَّارِعُ لَهُ عُقُوبَةً خَاصَّةً فَهُوَ كَبِيرًا. Everything that's been mentioned with a specific punishment by the Shari'. Who's the Shari'? الَّذِي يَشْرَعُ الَّذِي يُشَرِّعُ الْمُشَرِّعُ الشَّارِعُ. The one who legislates, the legislator, right? Allah Azza wa Jal. Everything that He's made as a punishment that's specific for something, that's a kabira. أَمَّا الذَّنْبُ الَّذِي نُهِيَ عَنْهُ فَقَدْ فَهُوَ صَغِيرًا. As for the sin that is prohibited only, without anything additional beyond the prohibition, then it is a, as the scholars call it, a صغيرة, a lesser sin. كَنَظَرِ الرَّجُلِ لِلْمَرْأَةِ الْأَجْنَبِيَةِ لِلشَّهْوَةِ. Like a man looking at a woman that's not from his family out of lust. And we mentioned about that last week and how that applies to us in today's society, a different society than the one that our Shaykh lived in. هذا ليس كبيرا هو صغيرا من الصغائر. The looking is a minor sin. لكن إذا أصر الإنسان عليه وصار هذا ديدنه صار كبيرة بالإصرار لا بالفعل. However, if a person were to remain constantly falling into that same lesser sin, then that would become, until it becomes his habit, then that would become a major sin as it relates to him, not because of the sin itself, but because of the repetition, the repetitive falling into the same sin. وَمُكَالَمَةُ الْمَرْأَةِ الْأَجْنَبِيَّةِ عَلَى وَجْهِ التَّلَذُّذِ حَرَامٌ وَلَيْسَ بِكَبِيرَةٍ. And similarly, he gives another example. To speak to women who are not in your family, to enjoy their company, like, calling them. Now you can say, with social media, the ways of this have been opened up very wide for people to be in touch with women. And there are some of the Muslims who are shamefully getting involved in setting up for themselves identities online, and they reach out and they contact women and they interact with women online. Is this a minor sin when a person makes it his habit, when a person has this daily routine where he goes to talk to his lady friends that he's made online with his hidden identity? Is this a minor sin when it's reached this level? No, it's not a minor sin at all. In fact, this could be for him the most shameful thing that he would never want anyone to know about him. So how could that be considered a minor sin for him? His heart would drop and he would become shocked and ashamed more than anything else in his life if others were to know about his activity online. So how could that be a minor sin? Something that would literally rip a person's heart out. طيب ولكن إذا أصر الإنسان عليه وصار ليس له هم إلا أن يشغل الهاتف على هؤلاء النساء. If a person continues repetitively, like he has no purpose except for using the phone to call such women. This is in the era of only the phone. Now we have, of course, what is more commonly used, the internet connections, the social networks. وَيَتَحَدَّثُ إِلَيْهِنَّ صَارَ كَبِيرًا. If that's all he does, talking to these ladies, then this has become a major sin. فَالْإِصْرَارُ عَلَى الصَّغِيرَةِ يَجْعَلُهَا كَبِيرَةً مِنْ حَيْثُ الْإِصْرَارِ. So continually persisting in a minor sin makes it a major sin due to this persistence. لِأَنَّ إِصْرَارَهُ عَلَى الصَّغِيرَةِ يَدُلُّ عَلَى تَهَاوُنِهِ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. Because his persistence and his repetition in repeating that minor sin proves that he does not give any real significance or importance to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. وَأَنَّهُ غَيْرُ مُبَالٍ بِمَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ. And it also proves that he is careless and he does not concern himself with what Allah has forbidden. So for this kind of action, it becomes a kabira because of this. The Shaykh moves on now to discuss وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. And we are in which verse? Verse number 32. وَعَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. Or 31. No, 32. We've reached the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. Right? أَلَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. Those who stay away from the major sins, the kabair, and the fawahish now. الفواحش, أي كبائر الكبائر. The meaning here is the greatest, the most destructive of the major sins. And this is one opinion about the meaning of al-fawahish. And there are many opinions about the meaning of al-fawahish. Some of the scholars said al-fawahish, it is zina and everything related to zina. So they are filthy crimes of a sexual nature. Those are fawahish. Other scholars said it's everything that is ishtadda qubhuhu, becomes very disgusting and very dirty as a sin. That is a fahisha. And that seems to be more correct to look at all of the texts. We have شَرُّ النَّاسِ مَنْ تَرَكَهُ النَّاسِ اِتِّقَاءَ فُحْشِهِ. The worst of the people are the ones that the others have to abandon because of his fuhsh, his use of fawahish. That means his bad speech and his bad behavior. So not only is it behavior, sinful behavior of a vile, disgusting nature, but it is bad speech about that kind of behavior. So it is speech and action as well. Fahisha has been described in the Quran as zina, as al-liwat, and others, as we'll see from the words of our Shaykh here. Incest as well. Right? Those are fahisha in the book of Allah Ta'ala. Look what our Shaykh says. Ay kaba'ir al-kaba'ir, the greatest, the most destructive, or the greatest of the major sins. لِأَنَّ الْكَبَائِرَ مِنْهُمَا هُوَ فَاحِشْ يُسْتَفْحَشُ وَيُسْتَعَظَمُ وَيُسْتَقْبَحُ بِشِدَّةِ. Some of the major sins are fahish, extremely disgusting. يُسْتَفْحَشْ, they're things that make people skin crawl. They're considered very great, very serious crimes. And they're considered very disgusting and dirty crimes. يُسْتَقْبَحْ, قَبِيح. يُسْتَفْحَشْ, because they're فَاحِشْ. يُسْتَعْظَمْ, because they're عَظِيم. And يُسْتَقْبَحْ, because they're قَبِيح. This helps you with your Arabic language. The wazan is استفعل, استفعل, like is istajwada, or istakhbatha, khabith. You know what khabith is, right? Something dirty. Istakhbathahu, he considered it to be dirty. He had an opinion that it was dirty. Istakhbathahu, right? Istathqalahu, he considered it to be thaqil. Thaqula alayhi fastathqalahu. So he considered it to be thaqil. So here we have yustafhash, he considered it, or it is considered to be, this is mabni lil majhul here. Yustafhash, it is considered to be fahish. Yusta'azam, it's considered to be azim. And yustaqbah, it's considered to be qabih. Bishidda, considered like that with every bit of seriousness. وَمِنْهَا مَا هُوَ دُونَ ذَلِكَ. And there are other major sins which are less than that. نعم. فَمَثَلًا الزِّنَا فَاحِشَ. He gives an example. Just before he gives these examples of the فَوَاحِش, I'll give you an example of a major sin that you might agree is not a فَاحِشَ. Right? What's an example? Stealing. Right? If someone stole your car, you would be upset, you would be angry, you have a right, the person has fallen into a kabira, he should be punished. However, you don't think of it as a very filthy, disgusting, horrible act. You're upset, obviously, because it's haram and it's a major sin, but it's not ma yustaqbahu bishidda. It's not looked at as if it's filthy and disgusting, right? So in that case, we have an example of a kabira that is not a fahish, a fahisha. The Shaykh says here, فَمَثَلًا الزِّنَا فَاحِشَةٌ. An example here of a fahisha is a zina, adultery, or fornication. A zina has two meanings, that is, illegal sexual intercourse. Whether the person was previously married, or whether he was not previously married, or currently or previously married, or not. Either case is a zina. One is called adultery, the other is called fornication. All of that is called zina in Arabic, and that is all a fahisha. وَلَا تَقَرَبُوا الزِّنَا, as Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, وَلَا تَقَرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَ. Do not approach a zina. Don't take any steps to go anywhere near zina. Stay far away from a zina, fornication and adultery, because it is surely a fahisha. It is a disgusting crime. وَالْلِوَاطُ فَاحِشَ. The word liwat refers to an act of homosexuality. And it's not a zina. A liwat is not a kind of zina. They should be considered as separate crimes because they have separate punishments and separate conditions for the application of those punishments as well. A liwat is fahisha. An act of homosexuality is fahisha. It is a disgusting and very gross sin. أَعْظَمُ مِنَ الزِّنَا. It is more disgusting than fornication and adultery. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَالَ فِي الزِّنَا. Since Allah has said about zina, about fornication and adultery, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. Don't come near zina because it is a fahisha. It is disgusting. Repulsive sin. وَقَالَ فِي الْلِوَاطِ. And he said about الْلِوَاطِ, أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ. Are you engaging in the فَاحِشَةَ? الْفَاحِشَةَ. فَأَتَى بِأَلِفْ لَامَ الدَّالَّةِ عَلَى الْقُبْحِ. So he mentioned the فَاحِشَةَ of homosexuality as being the فَاحِشَةَ. The nasty thing, the worst thing, as if it is the only fahisha, right? And that shows that it is very disgusting. وَأَنَّهَا جَامِعَةٌ لِكُلِّ أَنْوَاعِ الْفَوَاحِشِ. And that it combines all of the different disgusting things together. Everything that's repulsive and disgusting is combined in that act of homosexuality. وَنِكَاحُ الْمَحَارِمِ فَاحِشَ. Third example, incest. Nikah here means jima', as the nikah is batil. The nikah sometimes in Arabic means jima', intercourse. Doesn't necessarily mean a marriage contract. because there is no nikah with dawat al-maharim. There is no valid marriage contract with your female family members. However, incest. قال الله تعالى ولا تنكحوا ما نكح آباؤكم من النساء إلا ما قد سلف. And do not marry those whom your fathers have married of the women, إلا ما قد سلف, except that which has preceded. إنه كان فاحشة ومقتا وساء سبيلا. That is a fahisha, disgusting sin, and a maqt, the source of Allah being angry with you. Very disgusting sin that leads to Allah being angry. وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا, and a filthy way. Now, to be clear, the last verse that we talked about with zina, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا, Allah ends that with وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا as well. And it is a filthy, or what an evil path it is, an evil path to take. So here the comparison is being made by our Sheikh between regular adultery and fornication, and adultery and fornication with one's family members, with his own family members, even his in-laws, through the marriage of his father. فَهُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الزِّنَا. This is something even worse, more severe as a crime than regular zina. فَلَوْ زَنَ الْإِنسَانُ بِمْرَأَةٍ أَجْنَبِيَّةٍ مِنْهُ. So if a person were to commit adultery or fornication with a woman that is not from his family, and may Allah Ta'ala protect us from all of the fawahish, zina and all of them, وَبِأُمِّ زَوْجَتِهِ مَثَلًا, and another were to commit the same act with the mother of his wife, مثلاً. For example, صار زناه بأم زوجته, or the person who did both of these, his zina would be worse, the one with the mother of his wife. أعلم وأشد وأشنع. It would be greater in, as a crime, more severe and more disgusting. ولهذا كان القول الراجح من أقوال العلماء. And thus, that which is correct of the differing statements of the scholars about a matter of differing is أَنَّ مَنْ زَنَى بِمْرَأَةٍ مِنْ مَحَارِمِهِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مُحْصَنًا فَإِنَّهُ يُرْجَمْ. That whoever commits adultery or fornication with a woman from his own family, from his maharim, even if he was not previously married, even if he was a young man who has never been married before. Normally, zina for him would be lashing, تغريب عام, being expelled from the city and so on, but not the death penalty, not the stoning of an adulterer. Here they said, no, if it's in the family, if it's incest, then فَإِنَّهُ يُرْجَمْ. He's to be stoned, he's to be killed. He faces the death penalty. Of course, whenever we say death penalty and being killed and all of that, we're talking about Islamic law. We're talking about Islamic law that is applied through the Islamic judicial system, not that which any band of people come together in any place on earth and start implementing. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ. The reasoning that our Shaykh gives for this, and this is what you could call min ikhtiyarat al-shaykh, if there are people who do that. There's a book called Targhib al-Raghibin or Tawheed al-Raghibin, ikhtiyarat al-shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen. Ibn Uthaymeen's preferences in fiqh issues where the scholars differed. I forget the name exactly. It's something like Tawheed al-Raghibin or Targhib al-Raghibin, something like that, where they went through his books and they pulled out all of his choices in matters of ikhtilaf, where he said the ulama differed, but the correct thing is this. This would be one of those occasions where he has given us what he believes to be the correct choice amongst the differing statements of the scholars, which indicates that other scholars said what? That the person who commits incest is to be treated as someone who committed zina. If he has never been married, he's to be treated like that. He's to be lashed. If he has been married before, or he is married now, then he is to be stoned. He is to be treated as a zani. Right? That is what most of the scholars are upon. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Ishaq ibn Rahawi believed that if you that this is the case, what the Shaykh is saying here, the same position as our Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen in this case. And they rely on a narration that was collected by Al-Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Al-Tirmidhi in his Jami', and Ibn Majah in his Sunan, on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who said that the messenger, who allegedly said, indicating some discussion will come about its authenticity, that the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من قال لأخيه يا يهودي فضربوه عشرين. Whoever says to his brother, you're a Jew, then beat him 20 times. ومن قال لأخيه يا مخنث فضربوه عشرين. Whoever says to his brother, you are a mukhannath. Mukhannath is someone who is, in English we have the word hermaphrodite. That means he has sexual parts of both male and female together. Mukhannath mushkir. Mukhannath could also be a homosexual. Could be an accusation of homosexuality as well. Anyway, it's a filthy accusation of another Muslim. فَضْرِبُوهُ عِشْرِينَ, beat him 20 times. وَمَنْ وَقَعَ عَلَىٰ ذَاتِ مَحْرِمٍ فَاقْتُلُوهُ. And whoever has intercourse with, has incest with, a female family member, then kill him. This hadith, if it's authentic, it would be the end of the discussion from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, At-Tirmidhi, Muhammad ibn Isa ibn Sawra al-Tirmidhi, when he collected this hadith, as was his custom, he grades every hadith that he collects, unlike the other collectors of the Sunan. And he said, هذا الحديث لا نعرفه إلا من رواية إبراهيم ابن إسماعيل ابن أبي حبيبة ويضاعف في الحديث. This is only from Ibrahim ibn Ismail ibn Abi Habiba, and he is considered weak in hadith. However, he went on to say, as from the great benefits of this book, Jami' al-Tirmidhi, commonly called Sunan al-Tirmidhi, he talks about who acted with this hadith. Even if the hadith is not authentic, it would be interesting to know from the Salaf, the Imams, who acted upon the meaning of this hadith. And he said, وَعَلَيْهِ الْعَمَلُ, or he said, وَالْعَمَلُ عَلَيْهِ عِنْدَ أَصْحَابِنَا. Our companions, meaning here Ishaq ibn Rahaway and Ahmad ibn Hanbal, right? They acted upon this hadith, or they acted in accordance to this hadith. And I believe it is very plausible to understand that Ahmad ibn Hanbal knew that this hadith was weak, but his verdict was the same as the content of this hadith, not intending to use the hadith as a proof. The difference essentially is it a had? Is it a legislated punishment in Islam? That would be if it's a hadith, فَقْتُلُوهُ, that would be a had, the order from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to put someone to capital punishment in the Islamic judicial system. If they commit a certain crime, that must be a had. Or is it to the Imam? Is it ta'zir? Is it the Imam's discretion to punish someone who's committed an especially foul act in any way that he chooses? That's the right of the Imam. He has haq al-ta'zir. That means, and this is a nice example because it's in front of us today, and I'm sorry I'm getting a bit away from it, but it's important to understand this hadith a little bit. Selling khamr. What's the had for selling khamr? Do you know a specific legislated punishment for selling khamr? Of course you're stopped. I don't know a had myself. I don't know a had for selling khamr. I know a had for drinking, becoming drunk. But for selling khamr, I don't know of a legislated, specified had for selling khamr. Tayyib, what happens, and khamr includes any intoxicant, anything that intoxicates a person. That would include crack cocaine, heroin, marijuana. Tayyib, all of that is khamr. Tayyib, if you import heroin into Saudi Arabia, what will happen to you? You'll be executed. You'll be tried. And if there is no excuse for you and no and the evidence is clearly against you, you may face the death penalty. They execute drug traffickers, as is clear on entrance cards, immigration forms, and all of that, right? Tayyib, so are they doing that as a had or as ta'zir? That's ta'zir. That's the punishment. And it's very important. You can't say, where does this come from? This is not from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They brought it out of thin air. Where do they get this decision to kill people? Look at what cocaine does. Most of us are from the West. Look at what crack cocaine, look at what heroin does to people. Look at how much, you know, much more it goes beyond the effects of normal alcohol. Wine and beer and things like that. Look what crack cocaine does to a person. It makes a person like a zombie with no life at all except going to get the next hit. So is it not the Imam's right to see something that is extremely corruptive coming to his society and dealing with it with harshness and applying a punishment that is not a had, but it is a ta'zir. It's something to be an example for the people to see this is a punishment that is applied to those who do this. And that's what's happening here in our blessed kingdom. May Allah Ta'ala protect it and foster the tawheed in it. And the people of Iman, may He bless them, grant them success. Tayyib. So we got a little bit away from the discussion there. But that was all about the hadith that the Shaykh mentions here. He says, I've lost my place. He says, لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَّقَ بَيْنَ الزِّنَا وَبَيْنَ نِكَاحِ ذَوَاتِ الْمَحَارِمِ فَالزِّنَا بِذَوَاتِ الْمَحَارِمِ وَصَفَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Because Allah has distinguished between regular zina and incest, saying with his description, he's the Most High, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقْتًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Verily it, that is incest, is a fahisha, maqt, with an additional description of being something that is hated, something that is disgusting, وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا, and an evil way. وَالزِّنَا وَصَفَهُ بِوَصْفٍ وَاحِدٍ وَهُوَ إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. And zina, regular adultery or fornication, he described only with one description, that it was, or that it is a fahisha. It is a disgusting act. However, we'll add to that, that the rest of the ayat says, wasa'a sabila, and it is also an evil way. It doesn't say maqt though, just for zina, a hated act. Then he says, وَجَاءَتِ السُّنَّةُ بِالتَّفْرِيقِ بَيْنَ مَنْ زَنَى بِمْرَأَةٍ مِنْ مَحَارِمِهِ أَوْ بِمْرَأَةٍ أَجْنَبِيَّةٍ. It should be وَبِمْرَأَةٍ أَجْنَبِيَّةٍ وَمَنْ زَنَى بِمْرَأَةٍ أَجْنَبِيَّةٍ. And the sunnah has come to make a distinction between a woman, between someone who commits adultery or fornication with his family members, with his female family members, and the one who does it with just a strange woman. فَجَعَلَتْ حَدَّ الْأَوَّلِ الْقَتْلَ بِكُلِّ حَالٍ. And it, meaning the sunnah, has made the punishment for the first one capital punishment in every situation. وَإِن لَمْ يَتَزَوَّجْ, even if he had never been married before. وَإِن لَمْ يَكُنْ ثَيِّبًا لِأَنَّ هَذَا أَعَظَمْ وَلِعَذُ بِاللَّهِ, because that is greater and Allah's refuge is sought. Now remember that he's relying on the hadith when he said وَجَاءَتِ السُنَّةِ, the sunnah has come to make a distinction. Which hadith is he relying on? He's relying on the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Did I mention to you it's not authentic? Or did I just allude to it? I said Ibrahim ibn Ismail ibn Abi Habib, alright? He's weak. He's in the chain. Tirmidhi said that he's been declared as weak. Also, the one he narrates from, I think it's Dawood ibn Hussein, also weak. However, there are other narrations of the hadith. Abad ibn Mansur is weak. He narrates the hadith, but he makes it mawquf. Mawquf. Another person with a different chain brings the same hadith from Ikrimah to Ibn Abbas, and his chain stops at Ibn Abbas, making it the statement and opinion of Ibn Abbas, which seems to be more correct. The great Imam of Ilal, Abu Hatim al-Razi, was asked by his son, Abdurrahman ibn Abi Hatim, There's a book called Ilal Ibn Abi Hatim, one of the best books in the hidden defects of hadith. In that book, he asks his father about this hadith. His father, Abu Hatim, one of the most knowledgeable, out of Italaq, one of the most familiar people of this ummah with the hidden defects of hadith, he said, this hadith is munkar. This hadith is munkar. It is an incorrect chain or a weak chain, inauthentic chain with a meaning that is contradictory. Right? And he said it was only narrated by this Ibrahim ibn Ismail ibn Abi Habiba. No one else narrated it. Meaning no one else narrated it. Marfu' as a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are others who narrated it as the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas. And that's what seems to be most correct. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. That makes a big difference, because if it's the opinion and the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas, then it's not a had, it's ta'zir. And if it's from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it's a had. It's a prescribed punishment, and it's not our opinion to waive it or to apply it. It is to be applied as it is the ruling of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. However, this is the position of Ahmed ibn Hanbal and Ishaq ibn Rahway, that the one who commits incest is to be killed in any situation. Right? So our Shaykh has his basis in those earlier scholars, Ishaq and Ahmed ibn Hanbal. By the way, the madhab of Ishaq ibn Rahway was a madhab like the four madhabs that you know, or even greater in status. A Tirmidhi, when you read a Tirmidhi's book, he'll talk about a Shafi'i and Malik and Ahmed. He'll talk about Ishaq like he's right up there with the top. And many times a Tirmidhi concludes with the opinion of Ishaq, Ahmed ibn Hanbal, and those ulama. So Ishaq was considered to be one of the imams of the madhahib in the early generations, like in the third century. He was considered to be an imam like those other imams in terms of whose fiqh position should you consider and weigh in an issue. Tayyib, he says, لَأَنَّ هَذَا أَعْظَمُ وَلِعَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Incest is something more serious, and may Allah give us refuge with him. إِنسَانٌ وَنْ يَزْنِي بِأُمِّهِ أَوْ أُخْتِهِ أَوْ أُمِّ زَوْجَتِهِ. A person committing this act with his mother or his sister or the mother of his wife, أو بنت زوجته, or the daughter of his wife, التي دخل بها, the one that he has consummated the marriage with, meaning the daughter of the wife he's consummated the marriage with. Showing a distinction here, it's another side point, that the daughter of your wife is permanently haram for you once you consummate the marriage. But before you consummate that marriage, if you made a marriage contract and then you never consummated the marriage, the daughter is permissible for you to marry in the future, but not the mother. The mother of your wife through a contract is made muharram, is made from impermissible for you to marry permanently, even without consummation of the marriage. That's the distinction he's saying when he says, التي دخل بها, the daughter of his wife who he has consummated the marriage with. Right? So that is considered incest. Even if he's divorced this woman, even if he only spent 2 or 3 days with this woman and never really built the marriage, but he consummated the marriage with this woman, then her daughter, later he comes to marry her or something, that's considered to be incest and impermissible. طيب. فاحشة عظيمة. So that is a great crime. إذن هم يجتنبون. As a summary, who are these people that Allah Ta'ala is describing as being pious? هم يجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش. They are the people who refrain from, they stay away from the major sins and the fawahish. وَالْفَوَاحِشُ كَبَائِرُ الْكَبَائِرِ كَبَائِرُ الْكَبَائِرِ وَأَعْظَمُ. The fawahish are the biggest of the major sins and the greatest of them. وَنَأْخُذُ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ الْكَرِيمَةِ أَنَّ الْكَبَائِرَ وَالْفَوَاحِشَ تَخْتَلِفُ. We also benefit from this verse that there is a distinction to be made, or that the ranks of the kaba'ir and the ranks of the fawahish are differing. Either he means they are not the same sins, that's what he means. They are two different kinds of sins, kaba'ir and fawahish. لِأَنَّ كَبَائِرْ وَصْفٌ كُلُّ مَا كَانَ أَعْلَمَ صَارَ أَشَدَّ كَبِيرًا. Kaba'ir is a description. Everything that becomes great or serious, it is kabira. It is a serious issue, or a serious sin in this case. والفواحش كذلك. And فواحش linguistically is like that. It's a very serious, nasty crime. وفيما سقناه من الآيات دليل على ذلك. And the things that we have mentioned, the verses that we have already quoted, there is evidence to prove that. ولا تنكحوا ما نكح آباؤكم من النساء إلا ما قد سلف. And do not marry those whom your fathers have married, the women that your fathers have married, except what has preceded. Meaning, you are exempted from the crime of what has already happened before, in Jahiliyyah and before the revelation of this verse. إنه كان فاحشة ومقتا وساء سبيلا. That is a very a fahisha, disgusting crime. Maqt, a crime worthy of anger, the anger of Allah and hatred. وساء سبيلا, and a horrible way, from Surah An-Nisa. And the other verse, ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة. And do not approach zina. It is indeed a fahisha, a disgusting sin. And that's from Surah Al-Isra. And the statement of Allah, أتأتون الفاحشة ما سبقكم بها من أحد من العالمين, about the people who commit acts of homosexuality, from Surah Al-A'raf. Do you commit an act of al-fahisha, the fahisha, that which no one before amongst mankind, amongst the alameen, none of the creation has ever done before you? Meaning you have now invented a very, very vile, disgusting act. Obviously that kind of description is beyond just zina, wasa'a sabila, it's a very bad way. But you've come with something, you've managed to come with a crime that none in the whole universe has ever done before you. The people who commit acts of homosexuality. That's a reference to them. No. Qawmu Lut. The people of the Prophet Lut. As a point, another side point. The word Liwalt, the word Luti, as it relates to the Prophet Lut, we should try to avoid using that word, although it's a word used in the books of fiqh. And it's better to say the people of Lut, the crime of the people of Lut, Amalu Qawm Lut, and not Liwat and Luti. For the person who does it, he's a Luti. Why do you think I say that? This has been mentioned by some scholars who look at the Arabic language and what happens when we start using expressions in this way. What do you think? What's the reason why I say we shouldn't call someone who's a homosexual a Luti? Have an idea? Yeah, he is a person of Lut. Why would I be dispraising him by calling him a Luti? Lut is an ism muhtaram. In our hearts, the name Lut has to be honored. Lut is a prophet from the best of the people. What's happened is the word Lut has become lowered because of the people's usage in the books of fiqh of calling the crime Liwalt and the person who does it Luti. As a result, how many Muslims do you know with the name Lut? You probably could never name one. Look in the books of history, try to find someone with the name Lut. You will hardly ever find anyone with this name Lut. While Lut, ismu nabi min anbiya'illah, one of the prophets of Allah, one of the best names to choose. As a general guideline in choosing names, the ulama say, the prophets have to have that status, that their names are considered to be the best of names. Call your sons Shu'aib, call them Saleh, call your sons Nuh. You know, call your sons with the names of the Anbiya. These are good names. Call your sons with the name Lut, and it's no problem. People should not think that a boy named Lut has anything to do with the crime of the people of Lut. Just like we shouldn't think that someone who follows the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has anything to do with the crime of the mushrikeen who he came to warn against and invite them to tawheed. You don't call an idol worshipper a Muhammadi because the Prophet who came to him to warn him against idol worship, his name was Muhammad. So now anyone who falls into idol worship is a Muhammadi. That's the same logic. This is an adah, this is a customary usage of the word Luthi and Liwat that happened in the books of fiqh that we're not very pleased with, but it happened. We don't want to blame all of the ulama who wrote in fiqh and used this word and say they have assisted in degrading the name of a prophet. We want to say it is a custom that has taken place that we should make an intention to avoid if we can. Not to blame those scholars who have used that word, as it seemed to be used without in car for hundreds of years, used without anyone having a problem with it for hundreds of years. This is very similar to the conclusion of Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah, or Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his Mu'jam al-Manahi al-Lafdhiyya. He mentions al-Luti and liwat, the phrases that you should avoid, prohibited or discouraged phrases in Islam. He mentions Luti and liwat, and he concludes that it is the custom of the scholars in the books of fiqh that they have used it, so we're not going to be really harsh about this issue. However, that was a noble man. Lut was a noble man. It's not permissible to allow his image in your heart to be degraded by any usage of the word like that. So you should think that a man named Lut is the person who has a good name, just like a man named Hud or Nuh or Muhammad or Ibrahim or the names of our prophets, alayhim salatu wasalam. How is the time?
About
8 or 9 minutes before that. About what? 8 or 9 minutes. فَفَرَّقَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا وَبَيْنَهَا مَا أَنَّهَا كُلَّهَا فَوَاحِشٍ. So with all of these things, homosexuality, incest, regular fornication and adultery, Allah has distinguished between their ranks and their levels. So here the Shaykh is saying they are major sins, they are fawahish, and they are all not the same. Some of them are more severe than others. So his statement, الكبائر والفواحش تختلف, that means in order of the severity of the criminal nature of each act, that some of them are more transgressive, more harmful, more disgusting, and more offensive than others. ما أنها كلها فواحش, while they are all فواحش, لكن بعضها أعظم من بعض, however some of them are more severe than others. Should we begin with إلا اللمم؟ We'll stop at this point. Insha'Allah ta'ala. Salli Allahumma wa sallim wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Let me read to you from Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, talking about this hadith that we discussed today. The one of Abdullah ibn Abbas saying, whoever commits incest, then kill him. Right? He says it was collected by Ibn Majah. And then he said it's weak. Collected by Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Ad-Darqutni, Al-Hakim, Al-Bayhaqi, and Ahmad. In the chain is Ibrahim ibn Ismail ibn Abi Habiba, who narrates from Dawood ibn Hussein, he's also weak, and Ikrimah, and Ibn Abbas. He said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he mentioned it, Man waqa ala dhati mahramin faqtuluhu. Whoever commits incest, then kill him. Al-Hakim, Abu Abdullah al-Naysaburi, in his book Al-Mustadrak, when he collected this hadith, he was like a Tirmidhi, he would also give verdicts on the hadiths. He was later, he wasn't from the earlier scholars of hadith. It's like 100 years later than the six imams, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nasa'i. He died in the year 405. He has a book Al-Mustadrak where he came and brought a hadith which he believed should be in Bukhari and Muslim because they're authentic. However, he was considered to be mutasahil, lenient in his narrations or in his verdicts, and he would consider narrations to be authentic, which didn't meet the conditions of Bukhari and Muslim, nor did they meet the conditions of other scholars in being a sahih hadith. This is one of those where he considered this hadith to be authentic, and he even called it sahih al-isnad, authentic chain. Al-Dhahabi has a book, his Talkhis, where he came after the verdicts of Al-Hakim and he would reject them if they were wrong, and he had knowledge of that. He says in this case, Al-Dhahabi came and said, La, it's not authentic. It's not an authentic hadith, without any elaboration. Our Shaykh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani says, قُلْتُ وَالْعِلَّةُ مِنْ إِسْمَعِيلُ وَدَاوُودُ. The weakness comes from Ismail and Dawood. وَقَدْ مَضَى الْكَلَامُ عَلَيْهِمَا قَرِيبًا تَحْتَ الْحَدِيثِ كَذَا. And he mentions another place where he talked about these two narrators. He mentions the statement of a Tirmidhi about Ibrahim ibn Ismail. And then he mentions the statement of Al-Bayhaqi, وَقَدْ رُوِيْنَا مِنْ حَدِيثِ عَبَّادِ بْنِ مَنْصُورِ عَنْ إِكْرِمَ عَنْ إِبْنِ عَبَّاسٍ مَرْفُوعًا قُلْتُ وَقَدْ أَخْرَجَهُ إِبْنُ أَبِي شَيْبَةَ عَنْهُ مَوْقُوفًا. Naam, it's really in Ibn Abi Shayba's book, Mawquf, from the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas. قلت وعباد ضعيف كما سبق, but also عباد is weak, and it's found in the علل of Ibn Abi Hatim, where the son of Abu Hatim said, I asked my father about the hadith, and he said, هَذَا حَدِيثٌ مُنْكَرٌ. It is a hadith which is weak. لَمْ يَرْوِهِ غَيْرُ إِبْنُ أَبِي حَبِيبًا. It's not narrated by anyone except Ibn Abi Habiba, meaning as a marfu' hadith, as a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what number for your reference? That's in the book called Irwa'ul Ghalil. Great work. Takhrij of the Ahadith of Manar al-Sabil. Number 2365. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.